I believe the time is coming when the Lord shall come again. I believe the end is nearing every day. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. Just compare today with Matthew 24. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. While upon the Mount of Olives his disciples came to him, saying, Master, tell us when these things shall be. Just be ready, be ye watching, let each one be free from sin. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these today we're having, and in Matthew will appear. We shall live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All the things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in these days. All of these today we're having, and in Matthew will appear. We shall live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All the things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All the things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray.
Tempted and tried, we're
made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves us all so lonely and drear. When we wander, while others prosper, living so wicked year after year. Farther along we'll know all about it. Partner alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Faithful till death's end, our loving master. A few more days to labor and wait. Toil up the road will then seem as nothing. As we sweep through the beautiful gate, Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why.
Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine.
We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Farther along we know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then the Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus many years ago. I know he'll see me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. There's over in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then the Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me from heaven, open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm a pilgrim on a journey, seeking for a better land. The way gets rough and the trials so hard to bear. But I call on him who started with me, said he'll be there to the end. And when I need strength, I find he blesses me again. And it's so hard to comprehend that he takes time of me. The stars that shine, the sun rises at his command. There's just a small, small grain of sand, and the wonder of his name. And when I need strength, I find he blesses me again. I've not always been the best man for the Lord that I could be. I've stumbled, yes, sometimes I've given in. But the Lord is great in mercy, and the moment I repent, I find he blesses me again. And it's so hard to comprehend that he takes thought of me. The stars that shine, the sun arises at his command. I'm just a small, small grain of sand, and the wonders of his name. And when I need strength, I find he blesses me again. I've not always been the best man for the Lord that I could be. I've stumbled, yes, sometimes I've given in. But the Lord is great in mercy, and the moment I repent, I find he blesses me again. And it's so hard to comprehend that he takes thought of me. The stars that shine, the sun rises at his command. I'm just a small, small grain of sand, and the wonders of his name. And when I need strength, I find he blesses me again. He paid the debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid the debt he did not owe. I owed the debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid the debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. And that's the truth. It's all about Jesus. That's right, you must be born again. All that stuff don't mean nothing if you're not born again. Just a ritual, eh?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta be born again, and then these things make sense. You can't listen to us if you're not born again. You can't for a while, for just kind of for entertainment, what we're doing here, if you're not born again. But if you're born again, you have a hunger and a thirst for things of God. Just that simple. And I want to talk about, you know where that scripture is, he that endures to the end. These songs, they're for the German songs, they're for Christians.
Yeah,
they're not for people that are not Christians. You want to get nothing out of them. You and I, we sing them in spirit and truth. You got to have the truth. You got to be in the truth. The truth for Laodicea is the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. It's not these 500-year-old sermons. They're trash. They're not even worth looking at. It's just a waste of time. We don't tell you nothing about what's current. The ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, they tell you what's up the road, what's coming, where we're at in time. And anything else is just a waste of time. And we're trying to beat the drums here for 40 years already, trying to tell people that's where it's at. I went to these preachers, I had a meeting with them, and I told them where it's at. And they told me you got till sundown to get out of here. See, you can't get in. They got the doors locked. Because why? Because behind it all is the spirit of Satan. No matter how you look at it, it's, we're telling people the truth. We can't get in there. They're trying to tell them where it's at, and they won't listen. They got their old sermons and their old hijacked these songs. These songs are not meant for them. These songs that we sing here, they're for Christians. They're for believers.
Those songs, they were written by Christians.
Yeah.
When you will know the history of these songwriters, they basically came out from the Reformation era.
Yeah.
After the 1500s, after they came out of the Dark Ages, and those songs were written, and these people were liberated, they were freed, and they were Christians. And that's when, like, you grow up with these songs, right? And you learn them, and you memorize them, and all this and that. But it wasn't until the Lord saved me that these songs actually started speaking to me, and I can understand them and know what they mean. I could identify with them, and I was just, like, amazed. I thought, oh, I can finally understand these songs. And that's what happens when the Lord saves you. You become a new creation, and then these things start making sense.
Matthew 24, I'll start in verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's where we're at now. Talking about, Matthew 24 talks about the hour we're living in, eh? Mm-hmm. You gotta know all of these things. We know the whole counsel of God. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And because lawlessness will increase so much, the love of many will grow cold. But the person who endures to the end will be saved. That's the job you and I have, trying to endure to the end, you know? Und die weit junge Rechtigkeit wird da ihre Hand nehmen, wird die Liebe in viel erhalten. Wer aber beharrt bis ans Ende, der wird selig werden. That's what we want to talk about today, because, you know, it says work while it is yet day, for soon the night cometh when no man can work. That's where we're at now. You can't talk to nobody about spiritual matters. You and I have accumulated ourselves when we're growing up. All we wanted to know was this God and the Bible, and we wanted to understand it. There's a lot of stuff, and the Bible I was completely clueless of. But somehow, by God's great rich and mercy, he brought us to the ministry of Brother Branham, and I keep saying it over and over again. Everything out there outside in the 20th century, outside in the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, you're just beating your gums together. It's not the word for doctrine. It's not timely. It's not for our season, everything that happened all these years ago. Yeah, I can learn a lesson, but as far as preaching goes, the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson is valid for the day and hour you're living in. I tell these colonies people, put that minister brought up project and your PA system and the things that we're talking about, then you'll at least get something out of life. But those old 500-year-olds are just, and who knows, that they've been rewritten 100 times. But we're talking about things that's current. We're trying our level best to endure to the end because everybody wants to go to heaven, but there are certain things you have to, certain conditions you have to meet to get that. First of all, you got to know this great God. This is eternal life. Go through the Bible and look for what eternal life is. This is life eternal, that they know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Back in the day, I knew of God, but I didn't really know God to the point where I can talk about him now. It's all about Jesus now. God is that great eternal spirit. No man has ever seen God, but Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus he was that perfect Lamb of God. He was that thing that brought us back from the abyss, like we were all lost and undone, and then God had to send Jesus to give us salvation, to give us eternal life. That's why, like I keep saying, the only sin you can commit is when the Lord Jesus comes knocking on your door, like it says in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He knocks at every human being on the face of this earth. He comes and tries to get their attention. But see, that religious system out there that has blinded the people, and it's Satan's substitute. That other thing is Satan's substitute. It's an okay place to raise your children, but as far as the scriptures speak, it's just a Satan that's engineered that whole thing, that community living, because it's a substitute for Christianity. When you live in the colony, like my brother said, when you live in the colony, you don't need to be born again. Everybody in the colony is going to heaven. Well, it's a deception, because Satan has engineered that program that people they brought up in the colony, they don't think they don't need Jesus, because that's a brainwashing. So the Satan is the head of it. Behind it is the spirit of Satan, and it took us a lifetime to find that out. I was content then there. Not really content, but I knew there was something more, like I say, until that man came to our home to give his testimony that he was dead and had an out-of-the-body experience, and he came back and told everybody about it. But he fell on deaf ears, because that system will not accept the reality. Like, it won't accept truth. We're just out here, we're just trying to open up people's understanding, and this is where we're at. This is where it's at. It's right here, what we're seeing here from day to day. That's why the Lord set this whole thing up. That's why he began to deal with us when we were young already. When I was 7 years old, the Lord began to deal with me on heavenly things. And I began to see things, and then they thought I'm crazy. They want to take me to the mental home. Just because you're born again, and you're looking around for heavenly things, and you're trying to find a place where you can still that hunger in your soul, and then they think you're crazy because you're grumping or griping around. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And here we are. We found it, and all we're doing now, we're putting it out there for whosoever will. Let him come and drink out of the waters of life freely. See, you and I, we got the program down so crystal clear that even a child can understand it. Heavenly Father, we just want to come into your presence again this morning, Lord, and give you thanks for this another day of life, for the many things you do for us, Lord. You protect us from day to day. You give us something to talk about. You give us food and raiment. And Lord, it's just overwhelmed how good you've been to us here in these closing days of time, Lord. And we just pray for grace that we'll just continue with this program and just endure to the end, Lord, because we have nothing on our own. We have no agenda, we have no program, we have we just can't come up with nothing. We just want to be led by that of your spirit, so that at the end of the day we'll be found faithful to do what you want us to do, not what we want, but something you want us to say and do, Lord. We just pray you open up the hearts of the people. Lord, we pray you'll gift that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, there's not much you can do anymore. We're here just a few years. But all this is going to happen, and the Lord Jesus will come back, and first of all, he'll do the rapture thing, and then we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's no use trying to go out there and build a mansion and do this, that, and the other, because there's no future. The future is gone. That's it. This is Jesus is coming back here and within the 3 years from now. We got the midnight cry. We got the time right down exactly where it's at, because that's what the Lord created us for. He dealt with us back when we were young. He created us before the foundation of the world, knowing somebody is going to have to be here at this end time to let people know, just like he said to those disciples back then, will you at that time once again restore Israel? When they asked him about things. And he said, it's not for you to know. But at the end of the day, I'm paraphrasing it, because God knew back then, Jesus knew back then, they will not be living in the time frame when God will once again restore Israel. But see here, at his end time, he's given you and I the formula, the day and everything, right down to the day when God will once again restore Israel. Because we're living in that time frame. That's the way God works. That's his principles. That's his precept. That's his way. That's his agenda. That's the way he works. He didn't tell them nothing about the coming of the Lord or anything like that, because they were 2,000 years away from it. But see, you and I, we're now living it. And one day God brought us to the ministry of Brother Branham to start his journey towards the closing days of time. And he knew they're not going to be here, but he left enough information. We're just continuing on with the program that has been established before the foundation. We're talking about that blueprint that God made back in Ephesians chapter 1. He sat down, had a council with himself, and he blueprinted everything that you see out there. But see, he gave people the freedom of choice. See, we have to make a choice what we're going to do with this Jesus guy. He says he stands at the door and knocks, and any man that opens up, I'll come in and sup with him. That's your born-again experience. And see, we did all that. We're trying our level best to endure to the end and do the commission that God gave us to do, to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. That hutter, I think, is an unfruitful works of darkness when it comes to spiritual things. They don't want you to know about it. They just make sure, because why? Because the Satan is the head on it. The Satan is running the show. Behind the scenes, it's the spirit of Satan that's on these preachers. They will not allow this brother, this message that you and I have, they won't allow it to come in there. They'll do everything they can to plug the hole. But see, God's got a place for them too. He's gonna come down. They're gonna have to have an account for God, because God's going to deal with them in his own time, and it's coming rapidly. They're the one that they say to the mount, that's when the kings and these religious leaders, they'll say to the mountain, fall on us, and to the hills, hide us from him that's coming back. It's just right here, just 3 years from now. And these 3 years, they're going to move very fast. But then before that, there's going to be a rapture. See, you and I, we got the program right. Mm-hmm. And that's... See, right now, it says, work while it is day, while it is yet day, for soon the night cometh when no man can work. We're at that season of time, or that you cannot talk to nobody. There's people that sometimes they listen to us, but after a while they chill out, because they hear things that they're not accustomed to hear. They hear things, and then they figure, they do like a TV, you know, they shut us off and they think it'll go away. But the fact of the matter is, there will be no excuse for being ignorant. Just because you shut us off, that's not going to give you an excuse, you know. You still have to be accountable to God at the end of the day. And we're just telling people the truth here, what's going on here in these closing days of time. We're telling people what the unfruitful works of darkness. We're telling people who these people are, spiritual wickedness in high places. There's people in the pulpit. I hate to say that, but we have to keep repeating it over and over again, because it's the truth. And now, here in these closing days of time, we're at a place all we can do is hang on to the thing that we have accumulated for ourselves. That's all I can say about that one.
And Peter said that knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days, with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. Mm-hmm. That's in 2 Peter 3. And you can see that's the condition that the world is in now. That's why, mm-hmm. like you said, soon the night cometh where no man can work. That means spiritually working. going and talking to people about the ways of God and the things of God. And you can see it all around you. The condition is that people don't want to talk about God anymore. You can see in this little town we're living in, a population of 15,000 people, there are 6 marijuana shops. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the trend of things. And I was reading today that marijuana is associated, they have now scientifically proven that it has spiked mental illnesses in young people here in Canada because of being legalized, that people can now go and buy marijuana whenever they want. And then they have done a study on it that in Canada, that they have now found that it spiked mental illnesses by quite a margin. Mm-hmm. And that's the result of it. And people, they think these things are okay, but they're not. If you have to find joy in marijuana, that's something that you need to find out your belief structure. And then you can see that there's a drag show going on. And these events sell out. Mm-hmm. But the ways of God, they dwindle down and dwindle down. People don't want to hear about them. And mm-hmm. that's exactly what Peter said. People will follow their own lusts. And Jesus said, but he that endures to the end, that's why we have to endure. And we have to keep spiritually awake. Because just like back in the days of Lot, those wicked people were always pressing in. And that's what those wicked spirits do. They're pressing in and they're seeing if they can defile more and more people with their filth. And that's why you have to be sober and vigilant. And we know that we're living in the last days. We're living at the time of the coming of the Lord. It's just been written about it for many centuries. The prophets wrote about Jesus coming, Isaiah, Jeremiah. That was 700 years before the birth of Christ that they prophesied that Jesus is going to come. Like we were in Jerusalem, in Israel for a couple of months, and we walked through those places, and there is a mount that's called Golgotha. There mm-hmm. is that Mount Calvary where Jesus was crucified. Mm-hmm. See, these things, you can witness this, they're actually real. There is a town called Bethlehem where Jesus was born. And you can still walk in those steps over in Israel where these events, they actually happen. And you can find out this infinite God. If you want to know what infinite means, I'll read it for you so you can know what infinite means. It says, having no boundaries or limits, impossible to measure or calculate. That's an infinite mind, the infinite mind of God. You can measure him, nothing. Like I worked with an atheist at one time and he had this big scientific book and I thought, okay, well, I'll read it a little, I said to him. So he gave it to me and I read a couple of pages and I said, you know what this is? There's some scientifically trying to measure God. Mm-hmm. When it says right here that it's impossible to measure or calculate God, mm-hmm. you know, because he's an infinite being, he's a spirit. And that's why it's so beautiful when you don't have religion pressing you down and making you feel offended. That's why you can praise God in spirit and in truth and say glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. You can say these things with your spirit and
spirit and truth, and
you feel free to do it because you're not offended. Mm-hmm. Because religion will oftentimes make you offended of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because religion and Jesus are totally a different thing. You can see back in the day in the Old Testament or the New, when Jesus came with the scribes and the Pharisees, those were the religious leaders and they did not like Jesus. That's what religion does. Religion does not like Jesus.
Yeah, but we were on a journey here, and the Lord put us on a journey, and a lot of people don't agree with us, but we're doing our own thing now. The Lord had to take us out of that compound. Like I keep saying, it's a good place to raise your kids, you know, to raise your children and your family. They got rules and regulations, and they got work for the kids to do when they grow up, and they got to get it there. But when the Lord calls on you, like He called on you and I, then we had to get out of there. That system couldn't tolerate Christianity. It's just a religious system. Religion cannot accept Christianity, and that's what the Lord put us on this journey. But first, He had to get us evicted. What's behind it was the spirit. Was the spirit of the living God that got us out of there?
That's true. Because when I grew up, I always look back and I thought it was the greatest place to be. Like, you had a lot of children your age, and there was always activity. Like, there was if you have a big place and a lot of activity, there was always something to go and explore. Because I like to explore things. Because I wasn't somebody who would just sit at home and crochet and knit. I wanted to go out and exploring, and that's what I did. I went out. I woke up in the morning in the summertime, and I came home when at 9 o'clock when we were told that this is the time to a curfew. We had a curfew. 9 o'clock, you're supposed to go home. So I was always out exploring things, and in many ways, you know, it's a beautiful place to grow up. But when the Lord saved me when I was 20, 21, and then spiritually speaking, by the time I was 27, my spirit was slowly dying because it was not accomplishing what God had created me to do. I had to leave and find my place in Christ and then pursue the things that God has created me to do. He didn't create me to sit on the Hutterite colony. I knew that in my spirit, and in order to be free, I had to go. Like I told my dad, if I would have stayed one more year on the colony, I would have ended up down in the graveyard because my spirit and my soul were slowly dying.
That's exactly what happens. And see, if they would open up the door for the minister, Brother Brendan Rojek, it'd be a glorious place to be brought up. But see, they close the doors, these tugs. They call themselves preachers, but they're actually the opposite. They're Satan. He's just a Satan. And I don't like saying that because that's exactly the truth. The truth is very evil spoken of here in these closing days of time. But see, now you and I have the freedom and the liberty to say exactly the way it is, and then the Lord set this whole thing up, and then He got me to pick you up, and then He got me to start up this website, and now it's going all around the world if people want it, and now it's this invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. See, we got the program right, and like back in the days of Hosea, you know, I read a lot about Hosea. You say he had a very tough road to him, and then at the end of the day, then he tried to tell these people back then, to these Israelites, that were sat, and they refused him. They rejected him, and they eventually persecuted him. And then Hosea came out and said, because you rejected me, because you rejected the truth for your day, God is going to reject you, and you will be no more priest before me, and He will forget your children. There's absolutely nothing that you can do for the salvation of your children or your family member. The only thing you can do for your children is to believe the message for your day. I don't care who it is. The only thing I can do for my children, I cannot give them salvation. But I can do one thing. I can be about the Lord's business, and then the Lord can remember them. That's the main theme here, what we're talking about. You don't have to worry about yourself. If you're continuing on with the truth, with the message for your day, God is going to make sure that you have and your children have an expected. And just like back in the days of Rahab, I keep saying it over and over again, Rahab believed that these people, these Israelites, they heard about the Israelites coming through the Red Sea and what God has done for them coming through the wilderness. And then they came up to Jericho, and Moses sent in these two spies, and she took care of them. And because of that, these spies told them, when we come through here, just put a red ribbon up on your house, and we're not going to make sure that your house is not destroyed, but you got to bring your whole family in, your whole family structure, and we're going to see to it that you're not going to be destroyed. And it's the same God today, yesterday, today, and forever. He's got the same principle. If you can get yourself to believe what we're trying to do here, what we're trying to say here, that here in the 20th century, and the church age of later, see, God sent a prophet. Behold, I'll send Elijah the prophet. We keep saying it over and over again, so it kind of grabs a hold of people. But see, we know it's the truth. And we know we're trying to establish a way for people to have an exit out of this hell that's coming today. The Lord is just up the road here. That great tribulation is up the road. And here God's given us a little bit of a window to do whatever needs to be done to send out the warning. That's what the Lord created us for. That's our commission. Son of man, I've set you as a watchman. All we're doing, we're warning people how to get out of this hell that's coming. And like I say, there's nothing that you can do for your children. If the Lord doesn't do it for them, then there is no hope for them. And like I say, he's just going to do it like we did with Rahab. If you can only get yourself, back then it was that house. But here it is in time, is to believe the message for your day. It's just that simple. I don't know how simple I can put it. We're trying to beat the drum here for 40 years, and the more we talk, the more we get shunned, the more we get put into exile. And but see, that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is just put it out there, whosoever will let them come. And then everybody has a choice. That's why God made set it up that way, that every human being on the face of it have the freedom of choice. And you and I, we chose and we decided one day we're going to do what the Lord wants us to do. We don't have a program. We don't have an agenda. Then as time went on, he brought us together and he got us to set up this here program. That's what we're doing. There's nothing I would rather do than get up in the morning. It's just like Solomon said, it's your common, decent thing to do. Like when you're in the summertime, the first thing you do in the morning, you hear a robin out there, and that little wren screaming their heads off because they're excited about another day, about the Lord. They're actually praising the Lord. They don't, might not know it, but that's what you and I are doing. We can't wait to get up in the morning and do what the Lord wants for us to do. But there's nothing I would rather do, because everything else is vain, especially here in these closing days of time, because if we wouldn't be doing that, we'll do like everybody else do. We go down to the marijuana shop, and we go down to these drag queens that they have these drag meetings coming in here. I think they had one last night. It sold out, standing room only. Just to see a drag queen, what the heck ever that is, I don't know.
Well, that's the effects of the Laodicea church hour. What you see, when you will read over Laodicea, it will say, rich in need of nothing. They're blind, wretched, miserable, because they're neither hot or cold, they're lukewarm. Mm-hmm. And you can see that there's a lot of churches. There's another mega church come out that they were sexually abusing and these things. And these mega churches. And that's what they breed, really. Mm-hmm. Because it's in it is not the spirit of the living God. The Laodicea church has put Jesus outside. Mm-hmm. And what do you expect then? And these things will just come out more and more and more. Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit there, then you have the spirit of Satan, and then that's what it breeds. And that's the things that you see out there is all the effects of what the Laodicea church age brought. Mm-hmm. Along with it. Because they didn't need anything. They thought they were rich and they are in need of nothing. But spiritually, they were wretched, miserable, poor, and blind. And would really shock us if we would not have scripture to back us up to mm-hmm. know the conditions that the whole world is going to be engulfed with. And just like Jesus said, that there's many warnings that Jesus gave, just as it was in the days of Noah, just as it was in the days of Lot. So will it be when the Son of Man is being revealed? And that's what you see all around. And then these things do not surprise you. When people do not have a hunger for the ways of God anymore. And you can see in the Old Testament when that happened to Israel and Judah, what God did, he sent in judgment. And he warned them about the blessings and the cursings. And if you do not walk in my ways, then I will send in cursings. And he dispersed them and scattered them, and they were afflicted with all kinds of diseases. Other than that, they were healthy. They didn't have any diseases because if they walk in his ways, then none of these diseases would engulf them. Mm-hmm. But because they choose to walk away from the ways of God, just like the Gentiles did, and that's what brings in all these sicknesses around mm-hmm. the world.
And that's the thing about Laodicea. It exactly describes it right to the sea. They're wretched, they're miserable, they're poor, they're blind, they're naked. That's that religious system out there. That's that mm-hmm. church world out there. Mm-hmm. They're naked, they're blind, and they're spewed out now in these closing days of time. That's why Jesus is outside of the church, and no use pretending, no use going to hold your sermon and the Frida's head and all that garbage, because Jesus is not in there. They already kicked him out back in the day when I tried to tell him about God sending a prophet. You got till sundown to get out of here. Well, I'll get out, but you're going to have to suffer the consequences. That's what they got now. They're going to suffer the consequences if they don't come on board, and if they don't take warning, well, then they're going to have to meet their demise. They're going to have to see to the rocks falling us here in these closing days mm-hmm. of time. It's just 3 years from now where the day of the Lord would kick in, because we told you over and over again, February the 28th, 63 was the middle of Laodicea. If you know the middle and you know the beginning, you know the end of Laodicea. Mm-hmm. It's September the 15th, 2021. Now you only got 3 more years left, because there's 7 years in the week of Daniel. Will you at that time once again restore Israel? That started happening October the 15th, 2021. And that's from there, it's 7 years, because we read the blueprint. We read the Bible all our life. And now 7 years from October the 15th, 2021, you can do the math. It's 7 years. That's it. 2028. That's it. And that's the end of civilization as you and I know it. And Jesus comes. It's the day of the Lord. And then it's a separating of the sheep and the goats. And then eventually sets up his millennial reign. And then the kingdoms of this world evolve into the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We wouldn't know these things if we wouldn't have spent mm-hmm. all our life reading the Bible and trying to find out, trying to figure this whole thing out. And we couldn't figure it out. But the Lord, rich in mercy, he brought us to the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson. But in the days of the voice, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. That's the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson. And see, we happen mm-hmm. to blend into that. And now we're in the closing days of time here. Everything that we say is 100% scriptural accurate. We don't have to add nothing to it. We're just doing, being faithful and trying our level best to endure to the end. Like I say, the truth will be spoken of. Maybe you have the truth. They'll do everything they can to shut you up. And if they can't shut you up, they'll try to make you irrelevant. That's exactly what they do. They put you in the outs and just like the stone that the builders rejected. The devil knows that you and I have the truth. So what does he do? He makes us irrelevant. He tells people we're crazy. Tells people we're mental. Oh, he's always talking about the horror. Well, we're given a mandate to expose that garbage out there, these religious systems. That's the way, that's why we talk about it, because it's our job, it's our mandate. Mm-hmm. And, that's the only thing we have to talk about, to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness is these guys in the pulpit. They don't like us exposing them. The devil, he hates it, but we're just chipping away. We're just doing our thing. We're just letting people know where it's at. And if they like it, fine. If they don't, well, that's their problem. It's not our problem. We're telling people the truth. Mm-hmm. What they do with it, that's completely out of our hands, because it's a freedom of choice. Once we found out about it, once I found out that God sent the prophet, I told everybody, because I was free to tell everybody. I live in a land where I can tell people about God sent the prophet. Yeah, they tried to stop me, intimidate me, and all kinds of stuff, but you know the story. Eventually they kick you out, eventually they want to hear you, but it's the truth. I don't mind telling people the truth. That's why the Lord honed you and I out you and me out to do this very thing that we're doing here, to tell people the truth about the coming of the Lord. Mm-hmm. What's up the road here? People can take it or leave it. Mm-hmm. Like I keep saying, you give the freedom of choice. And you and I, we have decided way back then, I want to follow Jesus. Like I say, when you were asked, Lorraine, what are you going to do with your life? You right away, you said, I'm going to see what Jesus has for me. And that's exactly, God heard it, and the devil heard it, and the Lord tried it. They tested you, and eventually the Lord brought you to the ministry of Brother Branham, and God, that's the only ambition you had alive. You wanted to know about this great God and what God has for you. And then here we are, we're just doing exactly what the Lord wants us to do. If people like it or not, it's really not our problem, that's their problem. All they got to do is come and believe what we have to say. We did a heavy lifting. We did all the work. All you got to do now is do what the Bible says. Come and drink out of the waters of life freely. All you got to do is believe what we're having to say. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and we give you thanks, Lord, that you sent the prophet in this day and age, proclaiming the way to you, Lord. Bring us back to that faith, Lord. And we give you thanks, Lord, that we were able to hear, Lord. We heard that shout. We heard that cry that was made to turn our hearts back to that faith, to turn us back to the Bible, Lord. And we know that America and the church world out there, the Laodicea church, rejected that prophet and the message that he had, Lord. And that's why the wickedness has overtaken the world, Lord. And there's darkness all around, Lord. Spiritual darkness and wickedness and all over, Lord, that has taken over the land. But we give you thanks, Lord, that you provided a way in the Laodicea church hour. In it we found that stream, Lord, that was flowing with living waters, Lord, through the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson. We're continuing to speak on those things that you have done in this hour, Lord, so that people can have a hope in the hour we're living in. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.